I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A. And joining us today, we have a musician from the Twin Cities. It's been a while since he's dropped by. It is Michael Therrier of Fathom Lane. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Christine. How's it going?
Good, except for this froggy voice that I got going on, but
yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, and the news that you just shared.
Yeah, yeah, very sad.
Very sad, yes.
I'm a big fan of that band. You are playing with Fathom. Now, is tonight's show, you're playing tonight at Blacklist in Duluth. What time
yeah,
is that show?
The music starts at 8. I think we get rolling at about 9, but come down early for Gavin St. Clair. He's going to get things going to start things off tonight. So, yeah, we're going to play a couple sets.
Okay. And that's what I was wondering. You said we, so you're bringing the band up. How many band members are joining you tonight?
It's a 5-piece tonight. Last night we played Ice House down in Minneapolis. We had a 6-piece last night, but we have a 5-piece for tonight. I don't know how we lost one along the way, but somehow we did.
Somewhere between here and Hinckley.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to have you in the studio, and since you were last here, you put out a new album that came out last year. We'll talk more about that, but why don't we get started with a song? What do you want to do here?
Well, I'll do one of the songs off the new record. Actually, this song has a little bit of a story to it. And we have a couple guest musicians. We don't often have guest musicians on our records, but on this particular track, we have John Munson from Semisonic and Trip Shakespeare on bass, playing upright bass, because our regular bass player doesn't play upright bass. And across the hall was John Munson, and he was like, okay, I'll come over and play a bass on it. And then we had John Mark Nelson, the great songwriter. He came in and played accordion on it on the track on the record. But I'm going to do it solo style here today.
What? You didn't bring John Munson
Nelson?
You didn't bring the Johns with you?
Yeah, exactly. It would have been nice.
All right.
So this is a song called Zero. All with you to dream, and shadows take in the places you've been, float like a petal stream. And if you wanna be a star, just start shining. If you wanna be far from where you are, just start riding. Never be afraid of zero. Zero is where everything begins. At the top of your head, I swear that you said, there's a little sun breeze, so I'll turn out the light. The black ink of night, always you right. Backs of your eyelids shut tight. If you wanna be a star, start shining. If you wanna be far from where you are, just start riding. Never be afraid of zero, because zero is where everything begins. Zero is where everything. Daylight comes in, wondering where you've been, asking after Venus and Mars. And how about those lights you slumbered on last night? Don't tell me, 'cause I see where they are. And if you wanna be a star, just start shining. If you wanna be far from where you are, just start riding. Afraid of zero,
because zero is where everything begins. Zero is where everything begins. Zero is where everything begins.
That is Michael Therrier of Fathom Lane, live from Studio A, and a tune from their new album called, all right, I guess if I, Asilomar. I just have to say something about that song, because I have the advantage of you. I always go back and listen to the previous session, which was 4 or 5 years ago, so you probably don't remember it. And you did that song.
Yeah.
So you obviously you've been hanging on to that one for a while, because I think if you
it's been around, yeah.
Yeah. And you told me at the time that the meaning of it had kind of morphed because you changed some of the lyrics because your son started being afraid of the zeros on the clock.
Yeah.
Has he outgrown that?
He has. Thank goodness.
It's been 4 or 5 years, so I'm guessing. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, yesterday, just before the show, I was at his first grade picnic.
Oh, wow. You know,
at elementary school. So, yeah. Freezing yesterday. It was like the one day that it picked to be bad was the day of the first grade picnic, of course.
Down in the Twin Cities, too?
Yeah. It was cold. But, yeah, it was, he's great. Actually, there are a couple other little lines that he kind of helped me write out of that song.
Mm-hmm.
He's got just a wonderful way of seeing the world and a wonderful way with words, too. So I steal lyrics from him all the time.
Yeah. Well, being around kids that age is just so, fun because they're so, their minds are still learning and growing.
And very open and very creative and very free. And I just think, was it something like Picasso said he's like been spending his entire life learning how to draw like a child again, because you try to recapture that, that initial creative spark,
Right. Yeah. Yep. So when you were here before, I think that, so you hadn't recorded that song yet, I'm guessing. And so,
no, we hadn't. And I think if I remember correctly, I was kind of playing it a little bit differently. And so, because we went in, I must've been, because when we went to record it, we changed it quite a bit. So it'd be interesting to go back, at least the feel. Like,
and you were here with a trio that time.
It had a completely different feel to it, and it kind of changed a little bit in the studio, which will happen, because something won't be happening quite right, or it won't be feeling quite right, and it'll take a little bit of a left turn, which is always, the fun part of going in and really putting the microscope on a song is what I feel you're doing when you're in the studio, so... Yeah.
So do things tend to change up a little bit once you bring them in? And do you work out stuff with the band a lot ahead of time and perform the songs ahead of time? I mean, this you had kind of a few years in between albums. So.
Yeah, we had 4 years in between our second and third record, and it was hard because between our first and second record, there was less than a year.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a long 4 years, it felt like. But things got to gestate a little bit. So about half the material, I think, on the record was things that we had been playing on stage and had developed as a group. And then probably about another half of the things were started right in the studio at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we were pieced together at the time. So we didn't have the luxury of, trying them out on stage. And I kind of like both approaches. It's really interesting to me, having been in the band the whole time, just now going back with it, because we have a new lineup now, we have a new guitarist, we have a new rhythm section, all those things kind of happened organically over time, but going back and playing the material from the first two records now, it's like, it's really, it's been transfigured by the new lineup. I think it's like we've made all that material our own now.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of, as I was preparing to do these shows, we have a lot of shows in May, so I was preparing to do them, and I was listening to the, just kind of comparing the bands, and it's like, wow, we really play these songs a little bit different now. And so it's just interesting how a band over time will, even the old material will really just start to evolve,
Mm-hmm.
And so we're kind of in that phase now where we're starting to kind of mess with the stuff a little bit more, which is kind of fun. It's fun for us.
How long have you had the new band? And some, there are some people that are still around. Ashley.
Ashley's been with me the whole time, and so is Shane Akers.
Mm-hmm.
But then Matt Patrick is the new guitarist, and I say new, but he's been in the band now for years, so probably about 3 years. And he's also, co-producing the records with us, or with me. And then Alex Young is on drums, and Paul Boblett is on the bass. And Paul is a Northlander. He lives in Outing, so he has to travel quite a ways. Whenever we do play gigs, he has to come all the way down from Outing to play with us. But it's worth it for us, and it's definitely worth it for him, too. So,
great.
Yeah.
Well, I want to give a special shout out to Ashley because I love her vocals and how they
she's amazing.
How they work with your vocals on the albums, and I think that's really nice.
Yeah, see, that gives you a reason to come down to the show tonight. You can't just get that here because it's just me.
It's going to be so much better.
Much better, like 5,000 times better. Yes, yes.
I sound terrible when I laugh with this voice. Great. Well, so how long did it take you to put the album together? Did you have, you had that 4 years of time in there.
You know, we started it, and then all this stuff started happening. Mm-hmm. Like babies were being born.
Oh yeah, that'll happen.
People getting married, and getting gallivanting all over the world. Like there was a lot of crazy. Like I've told a couple of people that we could fill a VH1 Behind the Music with that kind of span of 3 years. But that'll just have to wait for when VH1 actually gives a crap about us. It took a little bit of time, and part of it was a money thing, just because I had been offered some help to finish the record, but I really didn't get kind of a situation that I felt comfortable with, so I really just kind of kept control of the whole thing and wanted to see it all the way through across the finish line, and so that just took a little bit more time, and I tried to be patient. It was hard to be patient. But it ends up that, the very last two things that we did happened really fast in a weekend. So we had this long, period of, 3.5 years of gestation. But then we were we need a couple more things for the record. We went in and did, this session really fast, tracked it really fast in 2 days. And those became the first two singles from the record. So it was, those were the things that really, that kind of catalyzed taking the whole thing over the finish line, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is you could just work on something until it's just, you could work something to death, because nothing can ever be done until you really decide it's done,
right?
You
know? Yeah,
especially when you're working for yourself, which so far I am. So, so it took a little bit more time, but it was worth it, I think. Yeah,
well, and you've had some success with it, as far as it was voted best local single is that something the listeners of the current Down in the Twin Cities
I guess the listeners voted Fingers and Toes, the song off the album, which I maybe we'll play next year, as the number one local song of the year, and we were just absolutely blown away. And so it had a lot of organic success. We also won a contest to go tour to Canada with some Canadian bands as a part of Manitoba Music Exchange. So there were a lot of really fantastic things that came out of the record last year, and they were all pretty organic. It was a really fun year.
Did you already do those Canada shows?
Yeah.
Wow, how was that?
Yeah. It was a blast. We played with Bruce Violet from Twin Cities punk trio. They're just fantastic. Got to be pretty tight with them. And then we did Vikings, was a band from Manitoba. And then the other band was Three Pete. And those guys are touring Europe now. They just went overseas to do a tour of Europe. Three Pete, they're Three Pete, and they're a hip-hop trio. So you had a hip-hop trio, Vikings, which is a dance pop band. Then you had a punk trio, and then us, which is, I don't even know what we are. We're kind of Americana, so it was a really interesting little tour that we did. So,
that's really fun. And was that in Winnipeg?
Winnipeg, Fargo, and Minneapolis.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's hear another tune. You said you were going to do Fingers and Toes?
Yeah, I think I'll do this one, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this one, the story of this one, we had gotten word that we'd possibly be opening up for the Jayhawks, and I love the Jayhawks, and it just kind of made me think of all their the stuff that I liked, which was, and I was sitting at the breakfast table, and I was I love this Jayhawks song. Humming in my head, and I was wait a minute, this is not a Jayhawks song. Yeah, that's just a song, so I was okay, that's my song. So I ran down to my studio really fast, and this is the song that came out. So
say you're looking for release. You never ask me my opinion, and I'm not sure it's what you need. You only get what you can handle. It's something that I've heard good people say. They saw what they were missing, they shut their holes and run away. So cross your fingers and cross your toes. The saint won't say what the devil knows. Cross your heart and your hope to death. Your maker in the eye. If only you had seen it coming. If only you had known for sure. If only you had stopped your running. But every lesson giveth more. Gotta take what you're deserving. When it's your love that's on the line, you best decide which one you're serving. Which one is just a waste of time. So cross your fingers and cross your toes. Say what the devil knows. Cross your heart and your hope to death. Look your maker in the eye. Cross your heart and your hope to death. Look your maker in the eye.
So that's like another, that's a very abridged, because there's like an epic guitar solo in the middle of that, which obviously I don't do here, so I took that out.
Okay.
So you got to come to hear us at Blacklist tonight, because we got the guitar action going on tonight. So.
Well, and so in looking at, you know, the instrumentation and listening to the album, it, you know, there's a lot of layers to it, I feel like, to the music. And in looking at the instrumentation, you have everything from mellotron to theremin to a string quartet on some of them. Yeah. Tell me about that. Tell me about all those kind of different tools that you brought to the table and how you know which song needs what.
I was actually talking to a buddy last night about this at the show. It was like, it's like all about reserving the song. Like when we were talking about making records, and it's like our process is to really serve each song in and of itself, not think of an album as a whole and not think of any kind of genre when we're making records at all. We're just trying to make this song, basically. And so if the song called for theremin, we had a theremin. If it called for a string quartet, we brought in the string quartet, you know. And so it was like, and we had timpani, we had there were all sorts of things that we really brought in to make the sounds kind of orchestrate the record.
Is that an easy thing to do? Do you just have a string quartet on speed dial,
you know?
Or did you have to hunt
funny,
around a little bit? I know musicians all know each other, right?
Yeah, not exactly on speed dial, but Laurel's quartet has become a good musical friend. They also perform with Jeremy Messersmith and a lot of artists in the Twin Cities. Dessa, they played on Dessa's latest record. And they actually were started, a lot of string quartets come to the studio from the classical kind of side of the ball. They're like already playing a classical rep, and like maybe they've got a wedding gig or they're, you know, or whatever. They're playing regularly as a classical group. And those folks are great to work with, but Laurel's got started because Jeremy Messersmith needed a string quartet for his record, and so he like pieced together these four people, and so they were kind of like born out of indie rock.
Okay.
You know, and so they really get how to work with the flow of the studio, how it really works in kind of the rock. You know, the first time they recorded with me, the studio was like the air conditioning was broken,
mm-hmm.
and it was like 93 degrees in there and super humid, and like they were just like, rock and roll, let's do it, you know. And
wow.
It was like, you know, and so they just know, you know, they know the game, you know, and that's why they get called upon to do lots of records. Like they also played on stage with Belle and Sebastian the last time they were in town, and we're on their last record, I believe, as well. So yeah, we were lucky to work with them. We actually did an in-studio performance with them down for Minnesota Public Radio down in the Twin Cities last year that you can find online.
Wow.
That's a
the
lot
whole
of fun.
Band and the string.
The whole band and the string quartet together in the Maud Moon Warehouse, the big studio down there. So
wow, that must have been fun.
It was so fun.
Because I'm guessing you don't get them on regular shows very.
No, we've performed with them on stage just once in the main mm-hmm. stage at First Avenue. We're like, okay, we're playing the main room. Let's get the full.
Was that the release show or something, or just
no,
that
it was just
opportunity?
Our first time in the main room.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's kind of like playing the Taj Mahal of music. So
when was that?
That was in 2014.
Well, nice. Yeah. Very nice. Well, that's wonderful. So it's been out. The album has been out for, has it been out a year yet, or just a matter of months?
Just about a year ago now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. And have you been doing a lot of shows behind it?
We did a lot of shows last year all over Minnesota. It mm-hmm. was a blast. We mm-hmm. Decided we were going to try to play in outstate Minnesota as much as possible. We had done a lot of Twin Cities playing already. We were starting to move out into like Mankato. We played up in Grand Rapids. We played in Bemidji. We played like this year we're going to play in Cross Lake. We're going to do the Cross Lake music series. So we're really trying to reach out, and we found and Rochester was another one, Winona, La Crosse, Eau Claire, Wisconsin. So we're just kind of spreading out like an amoeba over the Midwest a little bit. Now we're going to go down in June and play a show in Chicago. We're lucky enough to get hooked up with a So Far Sounds show down there. So it's not not every day you get to make your debut in Chicago at a sold-out show, but we get to go down there and play a sold-out show at the end of June. So,
wow, yeah. That'll be great.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Nice. So. Do you know, you were talking about, you know, part of the delay of the album was trying to juggle so many people's lives.
Yeah, exactly.
is that an issue for touring as well, for doing shows?
It is. Things have settled down, at least for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we don't try to do things too strung out. We can't do the month-long road dogging it. We just aren't not at that place right now. But we can do, like, surgical strikes, you know, like, and mm-hmm. go out for 2 and 3 nights in a row and do, you know, 2-3 nights in a row, take a few days off, 2-3 nights in a row, a few days off. That's what we did last summer. You mm-hmm. know, we would come, you know, play, like, 3 nights in a row in one direction, come back home. Go the other direction, play 3 nights in a row. You know, so it was like moving out in like a satellite formation.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's been working for us. And we found, you know, that the audiences have been really, you know, coming out to hear us and very receptive to what we're doing. And so we're going to do more of it.
Nice.
Definitely, yeah.
Well, let's hear one last tune. What do you want to share with us?
Let's do, Sugar Down. This is off of our second record.
Just so you know, I keep a from hands up on the wall. But I'm afraid I am a fool who will keep on guessing. How long will you be till you come around, till you come around? And bring your candy around, shake that sugar down. This man a taste, lest it go to waste.
That is Michael Therrier of Fathom Lane, live from Studio A, and a tune from your second album. Which, what was that called again, the album?
Just self-titled, Fathom Lane.
Self-titled. Yep, yep. And the latest one is Asilomar. What does that mean?
It means Asylum by the Sea.
Oh, what a lovely, lovely word.
Yeah.
And the artwork is rather lovely as well.
Well, thanks.
Some lights and someone in a rowboat. And
yeah, it's done by an artist from Brooklyn. His name's escaping me right now, who was kind enough to work with us on using the image. I found the image, and I just fell in love with it, and I had to do some research to find him. But once
Rommel,
I did, he was...
Rommel Pexen?
Yeah, Rommel Pexen. Okay. He's a great Polaroid artist. So wow. Check him out.
Yeah, it's very lovely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Michael. Great to have you back. And again, Fathom Lane, the whole band is going to be playing tonight at Blacklist in Duluth. Showtime is?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Yeah, anything else we need to know?
Come on down. We'd love to see you out there.
And if you want to find them on the web, what's your web presence?
Yeah, fathomlane.com. We're on Facebook. Please follow us on Spotify. We're out there too. And yeah, we're all over the place. Just do a Google search and you'll find us. It's we didn't name ourselves churches. Like, why did they do that?
spelled wrong.
Yeah, yeah. I guess they did add the V in there.
But if you didn't know that,
yeah, exactly.
Boy, you would not. Or some name that will like get you information that you really did not want to see. There's some band names you think, why? Why did they? Yeah,
no.
All right. Thank you so much, Michael. Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Morgan Kohler, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.